Welcome to 51 First Dates.
I'm Liza.
And I'm Kimmy.
And we are doing an experiment.
And talking about dating.
And love. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Are we gonna
cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Finally, cheers.
Cheers, in person.
In person, cheers.
All three of us. Mm. Hi, everyone. This is 51 First Dates. I'm Liza.
I'm Kimmy.
You've got Kenny.
Yay!
Here we are.
We're in the same room, in the same city. It's very magical.
It's strange to me because I feel like I've been doing this for a long time. I really haven't been doing this for that long of a time. And the fact that we haven't all been in the same room recording one of these before is like a little weird. But like not for like anybody's fault. Everybody's doing their own thing in their own places. But like
yeah,
it's good to finally be all around the same table.
Yeah, it's really nice. I always feel like it's just better, like, you know, when you're talking on a computer, it's hard to like chill and talk and drink, which is what we're doing now.
Get as drunk as each other and start riffing.
Yeah, like.
And also just like thanks for editing, because I know there's times where I'm either talking over someone or there's weird pauses, but like magic of technology. There you go.
Yeah.
It's actually like pretty cool that, pretty cool that we can do it when you're like all the way in LA on a different time zone.
Yep.
And like then we're just over a computer. Like if you think about it, it's pretty interesting. I don't know. Like super fucking nerdy, but like it's kind of fun.
You know, it's 2019. We need to appreciate the scary number by like just appreciating the technology, the good parts of the technology.
For sure. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day. I was high, but I was like watching Harry Potter on TNT or some shit. Like, you know, they just play Harry Potter all day for like 2 days. I was watching it. And I was like, whoa, man, we created magic. You know? Like, what is texting but fucking magic?
That's fair.
Anyway. I
mean, all of my dates have basically come through technology, so.
From magic.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess the magic of dating apps.
I just wish we could create the spell that brings stuff to you from across the room. That's the one I really want. The Accio beer bottle.
I want the one where I bring myself to other places because I hate transit.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah. I mean, yes, except I just fucking had literally the best flight experience of my entire life. This is not a sponsor, but everyone should fly Norwegian Airlines. It was actually the fucking best in the world.
Were you first class or something?
No.
They
don't have first class. They have economy and they have premium economy, which is not even that fancy. It's just like they all have super new planes. They have like really good food. They have like the whole touchscreen. Everything is just really nice, new, like good vibes. They have like this weird air control system. Like they filter the air differently and they have like mood lighting and the windows are bigger. And so when you get to a place, you're less jet lagged. Like it was just, I felt like I was like in the future. It was so fucking cool.
Yeah, I thought my Air France flight was like pretty nice just because I was fed food and I could drink in economy for free and like the
Air France is
all the TVs. Well, yeah, but like, that sounds like a whole other experience. I didn't have mood lighting. That's
wild.
It was
just, like, nice. It was cool. Like the windows. Like, there's no shades to pull down in the windows. They have these little buttons where you can make them, like, totally opaque or totally light. But there's all these different settings, so you can make them, like, semi-transparent. Like, it just literally felt like flying in the future. And also, like, all the service was great and all the everything else was great. Anyway,
I'm not a sponsor.
I just want to recommend because Jeff and I flew it over the holidays. And I was literally like, cool. Like, this is my airline of choice now.
I wish they flew from New York to LA because Liza and I used to get very buzzed on Virgin flights from New York to LA. And then Alaska bought Virgin and those planes have stayed the same. And I finally got Alaska status this year because I'd just been flying it. But then I took my flight from Seattle back in Alaska. Alaska, if you hear me, it was a brand new plane, but they took the screens out of the heads. Now you have to buy players or have the app on your own thing. And you don't you don't order on your screen anymore.
Yeah, that's the whole
thing. It's just that was the fun part.
Yeah,
of, like, they kept the planes, like, Virgin for so long. And Alaska, if you hear me. Okay.
Are you listening, Alaskan? If any of our beautiful listeners work for Alaska Airlines.
Yes. I generally am very happy.
Same. Yeah. We flew
with
them a bunch.
Yeah.
I flew them the last couple times I've gone to
Colorado. Did you? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the LA to New York ones are sometimes still have screens, but.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this is not an airline podcast.
Sorry, that's
boring. It's a dating podcast.
It's not. What's our podcast? Shall we ask? Welcome to 2019 live.
Yes.
Kenny, what would you say this podcast is?
This is a fun podcast where in 2018, I was able to go on a handful of dates and talk about it with you guys and share my experiences. And in 2019, looking to continue to not only do the same, but also develop on that and just continue to do different things, as well as just continue to meet new people and try to find a fun way to continue to get on dating apps and dating in general, just because I think sometimes, and I think I hit a little bit of this in 2018, like sometimes there's highs, sometimes there's lows, and like sometimes you get tired of dating, but like hitting 2019 with a fresh stride is the goal. So like hopefully we come into 2019 and continue to have a positive experience. It's funny because like people have been legitimately reaching out to me on Instagram. Like,
oh yeah, like, I forgot to tell
them
about
like, I didn't know
and
this.
Like, and it's not one person, it's not two people, it's like a handful, but at the same time, it's just like, I'm not a weird person. I don't think that's weird, but like you guys are showing mad love for not only like my story, but also like just like how funny it is. So like props to you guys as well. So you guys have developed a cool fan base. And so
that's awesome. I think that makes me really happy. I mean, I love any kind of contact with like any listeners. I really love hearing from you guys. We really love hearing from you guys.
We do.
I mean, I feel like, you know, we'll just shout out now since I'm talking to it. On at 51 First Dates Pod on Instagram.
Yes.
51firstdatespod@gmail.com. And like on our personal Instas. And
I feel like I get more, like I've been getting some personal Instas like, is that date 13? And I will reply to them.
Yeah.
But you're fucking right.
Totally. But you should completely follow us and head us up. I'm at Liza Jo Renz.
I'm at Kimmy Foskett.
And I'm Kenny Foskett. Or at Kenny Foskett. Same thing. But yeah, follow us into 2019. Hopefully we continue to develop momentum here and just like
keep
following along, and I'll continue to contribute where I can. And
no, you're doing it all. So if you're a new listener, because I'm the asshole who always does this, this started as a podcast about a dating experiment. Liza and I are best friends. Liza was in a relationship. I was not. I was trying to change my shit. Went on a bunch of dates, 32 of 51. It honestly, I feel like changed my entire perspective on dating and finally allowed a healthy person into my life. That's a little dramatic, like a good man into my life. And yeah, I think like you could go back and listen to that. But like right now our vibe is like passing the torch to Kenny, having new daters in 2019, keeping it loose, just keeping it positive. Daters,
like having people just come in as a one-off and talk about dates they've gone on. And also, if you're new, we have lots of fun guests. I hope you guys got a chance to listen to our last couple episodes, especially our episode with Dr. Darcy Starling, which is like one of my favorites ever. And I want to be just like her.
I got good feedback on that. Do you remember Nikki, who we met at Kimmy and Evan's wedding probably for the first time, but we knew, who is so cool. I'm shouting her out because she listens to our podcast. She's very cool, and I just didn't think
that's amazing. I think she's the coolest person.
Exactly.
And I, like,
so this is someone Liza and I know, but not super well, but like super well, but not years have we spoken.
We had an amazingly fun time with this woman at a wedding several years ago. Mm-hmm. And then I haven't seen her since then, I don't think.
That they was like, that episode was bomb with Dr. Darcy. And just like, I listen all the time. It was one of those like cool people where you're like, okay, I'm new listeners. But it was just a cool little fun thing.
If she thinks cool, I feel cool. Yeah. That makes me feel good.
Here I am trying to fill those gaps.
I'm kidding. You're filling the entire gap.
Our straight male perspective that we as like ladies who date men are so often question marking, like, what are they thinking? Kenny's here to speak for all men ever. No pressure.
I like to think that I have like a slightly different opinion than most straight men. I grew up in a family with strong, powerful women, so I like to think that I'm pretty open minded as it comes to just like the straight male stereotype. For those who don't listen to this regularly on paper, I am just went to an ACC college, work in finance, could be just bro, but I like to mix it up and like try to bring a different perspective. So
yeah.
Well, also,
you're so different than other, sorry to jump on you, Liza, but just like some dating podcasts I listen to where there's a male perspective, it's like really interesting, but it's very like, oh, all the horrifying things I thought. Okay. All right. So.
Well, I think that like all men contain multitudes, right? All people contain multitudes.
You're right.
And the way I feel about men in general is that they are socialized to be fucking horrible most of the time. And you're one of the,
and
like,
quite a few of them, I think quite a few are generally
especially
bad.
If you're like a white cis.
Oh, no doubt about it. But I think that like a lot of the time, I think that men like aren't given the opportunity to like learn how to speak about their emotions or be emotionally intelligent because no one ever tells them to. And if they're crying, it's like, shut the fuck up. And if they're expressing anything internal, it's like, man up, don't be a fucking pussy. And it over time like accumulates into men being horrible. Like, how could it not? If I was treated that way, I would be horrible too. And also, then also, some men are just horrible.
Yeah, because arguments.
But I think you're one of the lucky men who was like you said, raised around strong women and with a dad who like is in a rock.
He willing has to feelings. Show emotions. Yeah, it's like 2019. Hey guys, who are listening to this podcast? Be willing to show emotions.
Yeah.
If anything, it just potentially makes you more attractive as a potential dater. So like,
yeah.
If anything, it's going to benefit for you, and it doesn't make you any less of a human or a male. So
yeah. And also, it's just easier.
And show emotions.
So suck it. Don't do anything.
Get out of here with that.
Shut up, bro.
All the bros listening are like, ugh, I can't stand this guy. Like, all I want to do is drink RBVs with my bros and like cruise around SantaCon. I'm like,
there's a lot of bros like that listening to this podcast.
Yeah, that's our target audience, as evidenced by our sponsors.
There could be a sneaky bro in the mix. You don't know.
There are.
So you got to make sure like the demos.
There's some bros I may have dated in the mix, I think.
We have shout out. For sure have male listeners that we hear from. Hi, male listeners. We love you.
Yeah, and we do love you. Sorry, but this is all to say. Yeah, because like, as white women, we can be fucking terrible too. Like, let's just try to be better in 2019.
Yeah,
no matter who you are.
It's a good year. It's a great year. It's already been 3 days. It's 3 days of greatness. So, like,
the L train is not shutting down.
Great news.
I don't even live here anymore.
Some girl on the train literally told Kimmy when we were talking about it that she cried. It was for, like, outward tears.
She was like,
literal tears.
I cried when I found out. And I was about to pull my stunt where I'm like, oh, I moved to LA for this. But Tony told me earlier that would make me on, day 13. Oh, I slipped up. Doesn't matter. That would make me over her New York material. Terrible material.
Yeah.
No, it's a big deal. It's going to change a lot of people's lives. Okay, on that note, Kenny, we need to talk about your date for this week. Well, let's talk about the theme.
Well, what is the theme? No. you listeners know because you saw the episode title.
But also loyal listeners will realize we never pick out the theme in advance. Yeah. We pick it out while you're listening.
Because it's more fun for you. The episode hasn't been named yet, but as you're listening, we're coming up with a name as we speak.
If you're on the edge of your seats, you can just look on your phone because it'll say.
Yeah. It'll say.
I think it should be Manifest.
Manifest.
Oh, my God. Manifest. Because Kenny's
2019.
Man. And also, okay, here's the thing. I roll at people who like believe in manifestation. I sort of low-key believe in it. But also, I think people who talk about it a lot are like,
what do you mean by manifestation?
Like Los Angeles.
Like everyone's crystals. Like, it's basically The Secret. Okay. It's like, did you ever read The Secret or hear about The Secret back in the day when it was like a big thing in 2007 or whatever?
I don't know what that is.
Okay. It was a book. Oh yeah. You were like in high school probably. It was a book that was like.
And then a movie, right?
And then maybe a movie. And it's just about the secret to getting what you want. And it's basically like deciding that you want it and saying you want it and like trying to.
And quite literally, I read it. Did you read it?
No, I never read it.
Oh, I did. Janet, my friend's mom, had a copy and I read it on the beach, I remember.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I just make a vision board and I get what I want. But I never made that vision board, so I don't know. And some people, hey, it works for some people. It's like reframing. It's very valid. I'm being a monster.
Well, the thing is like, of course. Like, it doesn't – I don't think it's magical that if you set, like, goals and try to ask for things and, like, being intentional – about the way you live, obviously you get what you want more. It's not fucking magic. But there are, I think, a lot of people who, like, maybe treat it as magic. Fucking at me. I don't know.
So I bought a planner. Where does that put me?
Oh, my God. I love
planners. Okay. Well,
I bought a planner for this year. I'm, like, kind of into it. Does that put me in, like, secret train?
No.
I do it in organized, we would hire you land. We kind love of a planner. Like,
literally today, I spent $30 to get the planner that I've had for the last four years on eBay.
You got the Muji?
Yeah.
Is it all sold out?
I bought it on eBay because it's sold out everywhere. Mm. It's like a $15 planner that I literally spent $30 on because I'm like, if I don't have this planner, my life's going to fall apart. They have it on eBay. You can buy it.
I thought about you because there are Mujis in LA. Maybe they have them. Maybe. No, everyone loves them.
I called every Muji in New York today. Okay. It was
they used to sell out. So Liza and I used to go buy this planner and tell each other about it being there and buy it for each other. Mm-hmm. And like, we'll put it on the business, but we'll take care of it. Like,
yeah,
it was like you introduced me to this planner. It's very special because it has the exact amount of space you want to write in,
and it has graph paper.
Graph paper
on one side, a planner on the other for making lists. I love it, and I literally have this like insane belief that I can't live without it. So I bought it on eBay from a person in Japan. like a fucking crazy person. I ordered it today. I mean, it's really, so you're not crazy with your new planner.
All right. Well, as long as I'm not in that secret territory, then we're good to go.
Also, I feel like, by the way, everyone listening, today, the day that we're recording is January 3rd. If you're listening to this on like January 19th and you're like, why the fuck are they still talking about this? Oh, yeah. It's just where, it's just our current headspace.
It's just early. But what planner did you get, Kenny?
Oh, it's like this panda planner thing. It's essentially for like, I don't know. This is the first year that I think I've had like an extensive list of like resolutions or goals. I don't think resolution is the right word because like I don't feel like I need to necessarily change anything, but there are things that I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just like on Wirecutter, which is the New York Times, whatever, like just this stupid website that just ranks things. So yeah, it's either good or someone thinks it's good. But
Jeff,
like, it was like this
literally obsessed with Wirecutter.
They have cool lists. I don't necessarily know if they like seem too listy, but it seems like they actually do their research and like try to figure stuff out. But it was supposed to make you like, it's specifically built and set up for goals and like monitoring and tracking against those. So like from my perspective, if I'm going to have goals, I could easily let those go to the wayside and just like forget about them. But I think this, if I get into a rhythm, I think just like the same thing with like why journaling is healthy. Like if you get into a rhythm, I think it will keep me on track.
That's awesome. Wait, maybe I want that.
Yeah.
It's because I had a moment where I did fake bullet journaling.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely on my like Eat, Pray, Love vacation that I just took, I went to Amsterdam for a week and I'm still feeling all the vibes from that. I did a lot of like non-bullet journaling about like what I want to get done every month of 2019 and like what the vision for the year is. And it was very like cleansing. That's fucking horrible to say.
No, I'm having no.
Kenny, can you punch me in the face, please?
No.
You're stronger than Kenny.
No, I'm having a moment though. I want to do that because I feel like my MBA has sucked me out of most of my, I don't know. I'm just like, I have a lot of things I need to do, but I'm not as like, I don't know. I'm not writing. I'm not journaling. I kind of want us to like spin this theme on its head and be kind of, I want to do more writing and goal setting and journaling.
Well, I read something somewhere. We'll talk about dating soon if you're listening. but whatever. We're all in January vibes. This will come out in January, even though it's very freshly the new year right now. Someone like, it wasn't Oprah, but it was somebody like Oprah who's not as cool as Oprah. Was talking about goal setting for the year and breaking it down in terms of like, okay, if you set a goal for the year, now like making a list of like actionable items for each goal and then breaking it down into quarters and then months and then weeks and then days. So it's all very like actionable. Cause that's something I've done in the past is set goals or resolutions that are like so amorphous. Mm-hmm. And so when I was like doing my little journaling over the holiday, I was like, what do I want? Like professionally for the year, what do I want personally for the year, and what do I want creatively for the year? And then I just set goals that were actionable, except for like a couple personal ones were like more mental health and stress related, where I was like, I want to have more fun. Like I've just been working a lot. I want to do more fun things, you know, stuff like that. But everything else was like actionable. And then I broke it down into like what I could accomplish in quarters and then into months. And then for January, I broke it down into weeks.
Yeah, because if you can't track it, then it's not not a very sustainable goal, right? Because like if you have a goal like I just want to have fun, there's ways to measure that, right?
Yeah,
you say I did this made me feel good, I did this didn't make me feel good, I'm not going to do that again, I did this other thing, you can kind of measure that. And so like I totally agree with that. Like one of my goals, which is super super cool, is reading 15 books this year, which I think is super achievable. That's like setting up, I have 4 books on my shelf, I'll read one at least this month, I'll set up one for next month. And like that seems way more reasonable than 15 books in a year, because you're just thinking about 1 month. That's 4 weeks to read one book. No, that's super easy.
Yeah, that's like the psychology behind a lot of why people don't keep their resolutions. It's because you set these impossible goals. And I don't know. That's why also probably why like Sober January is popular, because it's easier. Well, not all of those people want to be sober for a whole year. But like, I don't know. I think that's the way to do it. I think that's part of the more in-depth bullet journaling that I never got to. I don't know, like where you're like, but I feel like I need to do that because like the summer internship feels so nebulous and scary. And I feel like if I just took it like chunk by chunk, like I need to feel this level of networking or interviewing.
That's is that boring. Your biggest 2019 goal is the summer internship?
Well, I hope I get one. Well, like, have to in business school. Yeah. I'm, like, scared. But
turn that on its head. If it's overwhelming, that means it's probably super important.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so that's, like, a great a boring number one goal to have. And, like, you can schedule out what that means from, like, an interview perspective and a prep perspective, like, starting tomorrow.
But I also feel there like with to do it. This podcast, I want to have bigger goals.
For sure.
And, like, it's very possible. I just don't set them personally. Because we've both, like, been so busy. Like, I'm not – but it's like, oh, man. Like, I don't know. Maybe –
if listeners have things that they want to come out of this podcast,
feel free to let us resolutions.
Let us know if there's a guest or a theme or something that you're going through with the dating world that you want to have come through this podcast. It's our job to help make that happen. So let us know via those weird social media portals that Liza referenced earlier that I've completely forgotten, except for my own Instagram. But
at 51st Dates Pod.
You can totally do it. Help us help you.
I love it. Actionable. Kenny's like, Kenny's taking action steps. He got his journal, his planner. Anyway, blah blah blah. Kenny, do you have dating goals for this year? Hashtag manifest.
Well, it's hard because I think the ultimate goal with any kind of dating thing would be to not need to have a dating app on my phone anymore.
Yes.
Mm. Like that would be the number one. Like I'd.
Well, is that the goal? I mean,
potentially, I think that's like. Not necessarily a thing that needs to happen. That could be a nice to have.
But like, what a relationship. Meaning, what does that mean? You just ask people out in real life, and you're still dating, or
no? Maybe the relationship thing. Maybe not. It'd be a little bit freeing in a certain sense. Whether it be finding alternative sources for dates, or just not feeling the need to constantly be on those and like proactively be searching for dates, and like potentially that means relationship. Potentially means like. Just being a little bit slower with an approach rather than being, you know, or like trying to force a date every week. I don't know. That's like just fair. Something to think about in terms of dating. At the same time, I just want to continue to go on dates and do kind of just continue to push the boundary in terms of like thinking about different things to do. Mm-hmm. So I think it's easy to fall into a trap where, we were talking about this earlier. It's really easy for me and comfortable for me to go and sit in the bar and have a drink, and I will totally do that. If it's a fun person to be around, that's great. That's going to end up being a lot of fun for a date. But if you're going to continue to develop as a human being and like continue to like figure out what you like and who you are as a person, you have to be willing to try different things. And I think part of that is figuring out different things to do with other people and like pushing that social level a little bit.
Yeah, we can challenge you.
Totally. I'm going to Dr. Phil you for a few minutes.
Sure.
I feel like you approach a lot of this dating stuff like extremely intellectually.
Well, I feel like I definitely overanalyze it, if that's what you're thinking about trying to convey. Because I think another one of my goals is just to care, like, to give a little bit less of a shit, which I think it can come off as like there's two ways to approach that statement. One way is like, okay, he's going to go be a fuckboy and just like not care. And just like, that's not the way I'm talking about. I'm talking about like, I don't have to overthink if I'm on a second date, or I don't have to overthink about like who I'm matching with or like why we're going on the first date. I think it's just like approaching it in a more relaxed, like relaxed setting, and, like a relaxed approach ultimately will lead you to meet different people, end up in different situations, different places, whether it be Brooklyn or wherever in the city, like just totally different places, different environments, different situations. Like that's cool to me. Like that's intriguing to me. And I think that's very doable. And so I think like caring a little bit less and just going more with the flow is something that I'm definitely going to prioritize in terms of dating. But I think that's like, to your point, I think I kind of recognize that sometimes it's like probably overthinking this whole thing. This is supposed to be fun. This is supposed to be like, I don't know.
Everyone overthinks it. Yeah,
for sure.
Oh, no doubt. It's the easiest thing to overthink and the hardest thing to like let happen naturally. But I think just like really broadly, why are you dating? Like what are you looking for? You know? Again, sorry to be the most Dr. Phil, but I think it's important to revisit.
Fair question. First of all, I think it's extremely fun meeting totally new people. I think like step number one to whether you're at the beginning of the dating process where it's like, I'm just going to throw myself out there, or you're at the later stages of the dating process where like, I want to settle down and get into a relationship. Like, part of that journey is just meeting totally different people. I think that's super interesting. I feel like every time I go on a date, people are doing totally different things from totally different backgrounds with totally different experiences. And like, you would never otherwise expose yourself to like those situations or like hear those stories. Mm-hmm. So I think from my perspective, like that experience and like learning those perspective and those like approaches that people or other people are bringing to the table makes me probably a better person. So I think like continuing to do that to a certain extent is great. I mean, potentially, yeah, relationship could be something that I want, but I'm again not going to force that just because there's a lot going on in my life. Part of one of my goals this year is to get into business school. So where does that mean that I'm going to be in the next year? So I have to think about what does that mean, what I want, and how does that affect the people that I'm going on dates with? Just something to think about. I'm not even at that point in my life.
I didn't think about that.
I'm not even there yet. Like, I'm literally not even there yet. But it's like, I think I'm just still progressing. And so I'm still at like the earlier stages where it's like fun meeting new people and just like having experiences and like, yeah, like sharing emotions and like going through that part. But like, there's so many things moving in my life that I'm not necessarily sure that I want a relationship. But if the right person comes across, sure.
Yeah.
I think that the best way to approach it is, from my perspective, just like, and I think I've realized this more and more, is just like super open-minded, because you never know.
Well, that's the fun about going on a ton of dates, I feel, from just doing the 32. Like, it made me open my mind a lot and, like, see some biases I had. Not, that sounds very racist. Not, sorry. Like, just more like, I just felt like things should feel a certain way. Like, definitely we have different journeys, but I don't know. It was really nice. Like, I started to really just enjoy meeting new people at the end. Like, I wouldn't, like, suffer through one drink just to keep, even though I had met someone I really liked, like, I was, it was interesting to meet new people, go to new places.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something nice about that.
And I just, like, oftentimes, I think it's just, like, a function of me putting myself into, I don't know if I've ever been on a first date where I was completely comfortable. Like, putting yourself into a little bit of an uncomfortable situation from day to day is extremely healthy from my perspective. So continuing to do that, and I think it honestly makes me, it improves my social skills. Like, my social skills literally improve as a function of, like, being in those uncomfortable situations and finding, not just, like, getting good at small talk, but, like, finding ways to connect with people. Yeah. Right? Because otherwise, yeah, like, what's the point? Like, you want to go into these dates and, like, find a way to connect. Otherwise, maybe you don't, and maybe you don't see them again. Mm-hmm. But, like, that is kind of the intention going into it. So I think it's just, like, it's been, like, personally healthy for me mentally. Yeah. And, like, I don't know. Also, probably physically. Like, I want to go into these dates, like, feeling good and, like, looking my best. So, like, it also just, like, keeps you on track in terms of just, like, being an overall healthy person. I think that's a thing that I can say without feeling too douchey.
No, that's totally, because it's real. Like, yeah.
Yeah, totally. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Filled.
I mean, yeah, I just think, to me, sometimes I'm like, it feels like when we talk about dating, I've noticed this with both of you guys, that it does seem to be very, like, you're almost creating a bullet point list of, like, justifications for why you date. Mm-hmm. Whereas, and look, we're from there. We're all, like, very different humans. I'm, like, I date because I want to fall deeply in love and have, like, a spiritual connection with someone where I can gaze into their eyes for, like, 4 hours and talk about the universe. Like, that's me. And I think that, like, we're both approaching dating from different sides. But sometimes I wonder with both of you guys where the, like, emotions and, like, need for connections come into your dating lives, you know? Like, not in a judgmental way.
I think literally, mine's entirely, like, anxiety driven.
Yeah, I know.
Like, same. I'm 26. I live in New York City. I've been here for, like, approaching a year and a half, which is not very long. And, like, there's just been so many moving pieces in my life where, like, I'm still trying to figure out me. And so by figuring out me, I don't necessarily know what I want from dating yet. But by going on all these dates, I'm trying to slowly, and I am slowly figuring out, like, what works, what doesn't, what I like, what I don't like. And so, like, I'm still, again, like, I'm, like, putting a timeline out here and, like, weirdly raising my arms for those who can't see us.
He made a literal timeline with his arms.
Literal timeline with his arms. I am on, like, the very early stages of, like, the whole, like, dating thing. But, like, I don't necessarily think there's a speed from the beginning to the end. Like, I could have an experience that, like, just absolutely rocket shipped me to, like, your spot where I'm like, this is madly in love and, like, this is all I want.
But it's funny because, like, obviously I'm gooey and dumb about my relationship, but I've also just always been this person, even when I was, like, 22 and had never had a boyfriend. And yeah. I just wanted connection more than anything. Like, I didn't really care about anything about like dating in the, and again, I'm not saying this with any judgment on either of you guys, because it really, like every, I think it's interesting to talk about because everyone has these different feelings about dating and different ways they're approaching it. Like to me, all I wanted to do was literally find like my best friend, like the person, you know, when you have a friendship that's like so connected where you're like, oh my God, like this person understands me and makes me more myself and blah, blah, whatever. Like I wanted, and I had plenty of those female friends and even male friends like that. Like when I was, I, you know, still have friendships that are like that rich. And I was like, I just want that, but someone I can have sex with. Like,
I don't know if I think later in my life, realized I have two theories and we're both from the same cloth. So possible.
Yeah. Literally related.
You're like two. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. We're literally related. And they come from my therapist over times, and they could be proven wrong now. I feel like one, and we've definitely talked about them on the podcast, could be just like knowing we were in a gray area of losing my mom for like 10 years of our lives. Mm. Like sometimes being personally afraid, like just not realizing that that fear of loss was definitely impactful in some way. And you were in high school when mom went through her first, like, really, like, I didn't.
And it's probably still, has to be.
And has to be. And like I feel like.
A self-protective element.
Well, I think I always just, like, part of me is just, like, we were talking about all these ski trips that we have done and are going on. But, like, I get out in front of my skis and I'm, like, thinking about things that you don't necessarily have to be thinking about just because, like, that's the way my brain has been programmed. Of just, like, being in a situation and not necessarily, like, knowing the outcome, but like thinking about it. And so I think I've applied that quite a few other aspects of my life, whether it be work, whether it be people, whether it be whatever, whatever it may be. I think I've applied that perspective and it's probably a function.
Well, yeah, you were like a young person at home when I was in college watching mom like go through surgery and all the, but it's just that I think there is something to knowing you're going to lose someone for so long. And it's very different than, and like, they're not comparable and everyone's different. But I've been like, knowing for a year, it's like you almost get really lucky because you have more time. But like, it's just that fear of like, I think it's really scary to make like the thought of losing. And for me, it's different for you. But like, I was like, oh, it was always like something that went away. Like these relationships went away. So it was like another weird thing. And also just like weird priorities.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then second, my parents met when they were super young and were immediately together forever. Like, and like until now. In love. So my dad is, yes. Yeah. So it's a high standard that is also a thing. And also just like, yeah, what? And there's been a couple other people who've had
It affects me both ways, right? Like, I'll just, like, have fun hanging out with people and then, like, potentially, like, freak out after hanging out the third time and being like, well, like, I either have to be committed to this or not. And, like, that's just a mental function of, like, but if you're having fun, just, like, maybe just, like, go along with the ride and stop thinking about it so much. Like, that's where, like, that perspective of just, like, maybe giving a little bit of less of a shit and just, like, giving things a try and just, like, figuring out what they are. But, like, it's just like this weird balance of like being decent human being and also just going with the flow and like figuring out where you meet in the middle while also like continuing to go on dates and meeting like other new people. And so like for me, it's like this weird matrix of just figuring out still for like just more broadly, like regularly dating.
Yeah.
Versus like.
And then having a high standard, not that you don't, for like what it is. So in a different way. Like, not thinking just about the ooey-gooey best friend generally, because that makes sense and that's what also society tells us. But, like, it being knowing immediately. Because that's just the story we've heard from the beginning, from our parents. I feel like there's sometimes a little, like, and then.
No, I mean, I think that, again, and again, like, I say none of this with any judgment towards you guys. Because I think you guys are like, incredibly mentally healthy together people. And it's just literally like we approach it from such different, like different sides. Like we have such different approaches towards that in general. But I will say that like, obviously, like the thing I cannot imagine is what that constant like fear and anxiety of like your mom's long illness does. Like I can't imagine that. the thing that I can imagine being incredibly like pressureful and anxiety provoking is having parents who are like, we fell in love when we were 17. We're perfect for each other. We're soulmates. We've been soulmates forever. Yeah. We're so in love. Yeah. Like I, cause my parents, are happy together. They have a really great relationship, but they're also both of each other's second marriages.
Yeah.
They're not romantic about love. They're like, they've always been like, don't get married young. You're an idiot if you get married young. We fucked it up. Then we got it right. Everybody chill. Nobody do anything. Like that was the narrative I grew up with. So I was like, I got all the time in the world. I can fuck it up a bunch of times. Like that was what I believed. So
that's true.
I can imagine that pressure of like, oh, your parents met when they were in high school and now they're soulmates and that's forever.
Yeah.
Being like an extreme narrative to grow up around and be like, well, if that doesn't happen, then what does that mean?
Yeah, I think I'm also probably incorporating that into how I'm dating because, like, at the end of the day, I'm not necessarily in a rush. Like, I think, I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast or not, but I'm going to peak in my 30s and I'm going to have an amazing time in my 30s and I'm probably going to be healthier and fitter and just better looking. But the way that I've, like, approached it is probably a function of, like, there's, like, so many people who live in this city and, like, I don't necessarily, I'm probably being hyper analytical again, like, just trying to, like, find, like, the right one. Because, like, I'm not in a rush. And so I'm like, oh, I have all this time. Like, there's all these people. And, like, that doesn't necessarily correlate to, like, just being relaxed and, like...
Well, you do. Things.
But it's just another way...
You do have
way.
All this time. There are, I mean...
No, exactly. So much time. I don't think I'm necessarily wrong, but it's just a different approach that leads to a different outcome.
Totally.
Versus, like, your approach, which kind of leads to the same outcome, which is, like, yeah, we have all this time. And that's, like, one mental outcome. You just have a different approach to...
Yeah.
Conveying your...
Totally.
Your relationship stuff over that time, so...
Well, I also think it's, like... Ultimately, all of it's an accident. I mean, I do think that, like, if you're dating more, you're putting yourself in a position more to find someone you connect with. But I know it's a complete fucking roll of the dice that I met someone who I felt that way about. Like, I know that because I literally didn't have anyone who even, like, slightly romantically liked me until I was 23 years old. So it's like...
Totally okay. A numbers game.
But I also think, then I think about just taking stats with my amazing badass professor who's a breast cancer survivor and has done a lot of stats work around that and just awesome, really cool things. I won't get into it. She's amazing. But I'm just thinking of all that, like, whenever she runs out her actual, like, it is, numbers are so real. And, like, I don't like math. Like, I don't know. I really like thinking about statistics because, like, I'm just very impressed by statisticians. Anyone who can do that kind of, like, analysis on, like, real things, like, they turn into numbers pretty quickly. So that's why I feel like with dating, I think you, that's maybe more of, like, just who you're with now. Jeff.
Yeah.
You
know what I was saying.
You just he was just in this room. That feels a little more like roll of dice or just, like, coming together and, like, good and fun and baity and, like, more like, I just love your story. You have a really good story. Like, yeah, I guess everyone can make
Liza
a really good
goes
story.
To the Netherlands. Kim's a turbo nerd.
Yeah.
Stats.
I love stats.
I'm like, no, him in feelings, emotions, love,
just two
whatever.
Ends of the pendulum.
Well, I just like, I, it's really weird that, because I don't usually like numbers, but it's because it like usually generates a pattern that you're already seeing anyway for whatever reason. And that's weirdly where I'm like, dating is a numbers game.
Totally.
It's very bizarre. That I ended up with someone seriously that who I feel this way about, like, after only because I went on so many more dates. Like, I wasn't getting, like, it's so weird.
No, it's the same thing. I literally only think I, like, found my person because I was dating multiple people at once. And I was like, it was like turbocharged. Like, you're putting it in a crucible and just heating it up. And it's like, things start to become really clear really fast.
Yeah.
So to flip it to the listener, this is why you should be going on all these dates.
Yeah, just
you
like
never
an,
know. You
we didn't even talk
know.
About your date. Yeah, we just got so
yeah. We talked about okay. Well, we're just
my current date might have may or may not have just texted me.
Whoa, I love when that. I know. We love when that.
It's so bizarre.
We're keeping it uber fresh. So we talked about the theme first, which whatever. What is our theme?
Well, I guess it's just been like
it's New Year's.
Feeling all your feelings.
And like trying to do different and new things.
Being,
I think that still applies.
Being you, being applies different, manifesting.
2019 feelings, Dr. Phil.
What we manifest, what we manifest from our parents, but also what we manifest from the new year.
I'm right making notes.
A Dr. Phil fest.
Dr. Fana Phil.
Kenny gets Dr. Filled. Weirdly pornographic.
That sounds filthy.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
We can't do that.
Anyway,
this is staying in.
Let's take
this
an ad break.
Staying in.
And then we're going to hear about Kenny's date.
Exactly.
Well, we're reversing the order. But now, a word from our sponsors. I can't deal with this face. Okay.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Well, hey, I think we need to hear about a date.
Okay.
Said let's hear Mr. About Rogers a date. Here. No, sorry, not to, no, I could never be. Yeah. So Kenny, you went on a date.
And I didn't
date
do
date number five.
Which it's okay. is strange to think about.
You have a like very you're a high functioning person with this amazing job. Like when I was doing this, I was like, I'm probably going to business school and we were having slow business time.
I mean, but it doesn't matter. Nothing
and
matters.
You guys have other guests on. Like, we're good.
We're good. we're literally totally good. I just don't want you to beat yourself up.
No, we're not. I've like
five is
it
fine.
It literally doesn't matter.
Five is good.
Five is
live.
Five is a great number.
Yeah.
All right. So I didn't do a taxi cab confession. So, like, I was trying to think of another creative way to do this. I'm going to try to pick, like, three words that are going to describe
this
date. So, the words that I came up with were water, improvisation, and tacos.
Okay. Sorry, because I know a tiny bit about this date. Liza, you don't at all.
No.
Make a quick, like, now make the log line for the movie of that. What, just from those three words.
Well, I think that you told me one thing about her, which is that she doesn't drink.
Oh, fair.
So I do know that that's probably what the water thing is.
Yeah.
So I'm a little spoiled, actually. Or not spoiled. I'm a little bit. I have spoilers is the word I was trying to say.
I'm spoiled.
Spoiled and spoilers. Definitely the same thing. So, okay, you were, I don't know.
It's all good. I'll just walk
man,
you through.
Man, 26, an average,
what's going on over
we're
here?
Doing full log line.
I'm doing a log line.
Okay. I'm pressuring her.
A man, 26, goes on a speed boating date, and there's an improv troupe on the boat, and they eat tacos.
That was...
Oof, kill me. Anyway.
No, I shouldn't have made you do a log line.
I just didn't understand what was happening. These are terms that I don't understand.
You know, back in the day, we did one episode where I wrote down three words for every day that I had been on thus far, and I went rapid fire, so
gotcha.
This is perfect.
Yeah.
So bad on me for not having listened to that episode.
No, it's really okay.
How dare you, Penny, have not memorized all of our episodes.
Whoops.
Okay, so tell me the true story.
The true Hollywood story. So classic Ken date. Met on a dating app. She hit me up. We like shared a couple back and forths. And then I literally just out of the blue was like, do you want to hang out sometime?
Yep.
Like I just jumped right to it. I was
like, talking about soccer.
And then I was just like, do you want to hang out sometime? And she's like, yeah, sure. And then after that fact, like she matched with me. So like I kind of like quickly browsed her profile, didn't give it tons of attention. There was a no drinking thing on there, and I just totally missed that.
Was this
like,
Hinge? Sorry. We just – okay. Because Hinge does have those icons. Like,
it does.
You can have a pill for drugs or like a leaf for
weed. Says like yes or no. You can like specifically call out things as no, and you can specifically call out things as yes.
And you can
you can be the coolest person on there and be like, I really like drugs. And coolest in that scenario is very sarcastic. Or you can have like the weird pill thing with a yes next to it. If you want to be that person.
Do you have any, Kenny? I
have none.
Yeah.
I just
left
it off.
You can also have
like,
none.
I don't care. Like, I just...
Yeah.
I'm not going to set expectations for me. You don't have to set expectations for you.
But it is a cool way to, like, if you're not doing something that...
Totally.
I feel like, especially for weed and drinking, to, like, introduce it. They're, like, really cute little icons,
yeah.
I think.
I mean, it's like, I just, like, flipped through it and didn't even look.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it does make a lot of sense if you don't drink.
Yeah.
Especially, like, if you're getting in New York when, like, drinking is our only social activity.
I'm like, oh, I can't believe the way I've been drinking and eating this week. And I eat like a lot and I'm in business school in LA. It's just like every night.
Yeah. I mean, it's that's the reason everyone does fucking Sober January here is you're like, I literally need a month to
Sober January
unpickle my body.
So overrated.
Have you done it?
So overrated. Nope. And I never will. I refuse because people do it. And every time people do it, they hate it. They aren't social. They sit in their rooms with their significant others. They do absolutely nothing. I'm like, you're being a boring person just because I'm having a beer or two, like, on the weekend, whatever. You don't have to, like, go out and get blackout and, like, shit-faced and, like, do all
good
that.
Point.
But, like, you're not being fun, and I don't like that, so that's my approach on
it. No, I feel the same way, if I'm being honest. Like,
I'm going to defend it for 2 seconds, even though I've never successfully... I've tried to do it twice, and I think the furthest I've ever made it is to, like, January 14th or something. So I'm not, like, a banner person for Sober January, but I do understand the feeling of, like, getting to a point where you're like, this is not fun. I feel fucking horrible. Like, and like, when that's my times trying it, it's been like the last 2 months have been disgusting. And if I don't really make a change, I'm gonna like literally turn into a pickle. So
yeah,
that's always like my intention.
I like pickle.
It's vinegar, whatever, you know, you're just drying out and getting all pickly. Nice
pickle. I just think you can challenge yourself to do it while also being in control. Isn't that like part of the challenge? It's like, yeah, oh yeah, instead of like drinking every week, I'm just gonna only drink on Saturdays, or like only have a drink on Fridays, or like just like set other expectations around it, because like that in and of itself is kind of the same thing.
Get the whole not drinking thing.
Because, like, when I was studying for my GMAT, I was being a boring SOB and just, like, sitting in my room and, like, not going out and, like, meditating and, like, trying to figure out how to make my brain work better. Like, doing all this nonsense for no reason.
You were manifesting.
Oh, I guess I was manifesting. Yeah. Crystals. Who's the celebrity who sells the weird, like, oils and crystals for your body? She's blonde and she was in Iron Man. Whatever. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow. Goop. Yes, Goop. Okay. Like, we were slow up to that.
Yeah.
Poorly described. Very
Iron Man
forward approach. Approach to describing Gwyneth Paltrow. It was like, Iron Man. Mm.
If you said Shakespeare in Love, it'd be like, Gwyneth!
I don't know. I just, like, I get it, guarantee you feel better coming out of the back end, but like at what cost? Because like I don't necessarily know if I'd be going on all these dates if people were like,
that's all fair. I agree with you.
Do you want to grab a drink?
I just think like a reset, knowing you're out and hang out and not drink and have a good time, which is something I'm trying to embrace.
And we have a lot of listeners who are definitely not drinkers.
Part of this date story will be exactly that.
As someone, like, I have a really hard time having 2 drinks. That's why I've stopped myself, and like not proud of it, but generally speaking, even tonight when I was like, I'm stopping, like yeah. I have a hard time, and I have to really try.
No, I think a lot of people are like that. And I think
Liz, you're way less of a drinker than I am. And
not necessarily. I mean, only because of comedy stuff. Like, when I'm doing comedy stuff a lot, I'm drinking a lot. 4 or 5 hard alcoholic drinks 4 or 5 nights a week when I'm really in it. And I haven't been doing as much comedy stuff, so I haven't been drinking a lot. But it's because I haven't had time. But, like, when I'm actively doing comedy stuff, I get to the point of feeling like, ew. Feel disgusting.
And that makes me want to then, like, just, like, even if it's, like, a week, just, like, take a week off. And figure out who you're hanging out with and, like, what you're doing, because I think that's a function of your environment. Like, I can hang out with certain individuals that I have on my friends, like, list that I'm just like, well, yep, this is going to be a night. Like, and sometimes I'm just like, maybe tomorrow. Like, you know what, not tonight, and, like, making, like, conscientious decisions around who you're around or where you are, because, like, that's my, like, key driver of, like, if I am not a saint, I will not lie on this podcast. There are nights where, like, New Year's Eve, I drink, like, 8 gazillion old fashions, because, like, I was in an environment, I was totally fine, but it was in an environment where I drank way more that night than I had in, like, probably the past 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And
same.
That's a function of the environment that I was in, but I also have no regrets because it was just like a fun environment. I wasn't out of control. No,
we were
one was
at Bomonte's. We were having Italian. Yeah, I mean, like, this is cheesy, like, New Year's.
This was New Year's Eve, so like I leaned in a little bit, but like I didn't know. I just don't necessarily know if I personally believe in like having to give it up for a whole month. I think there's other ways to prove it to yourself that you can be in control. And that's my only takeaway.
That's true, but I want to be able to continue to hang out with
people. The thing I'm saying is, like, I don't think it's about proving it to yourself. I don't think, like, when I've
tried. I kind of do.
I don't think it is. And especially, like, I have a couple friends who are doing it right now, and it's literally not about proving it to themselves. It's about, like, this is unsustainable to, like, be a human. Like, and it's one of my friends who's the most successful, works the hardest, and drinks the most. And she's just like, I need to take a month off. Because I literally feel like my body's falling apart. But also, like...
And then that's part of, like... But I probably could use a month off. And then it's also part of making sure you're in control. Because, like, with alcoholism, you can't really take a month off. Like, it's a much deeper process. And, like, I feel like it's interesting. I should be doing Sober January. And, like, props to the people out there doing it. Well, you're very in control, though. I feel like I've noticed that. I've gotten more in control as I've gotten older.
For everybody who's listening who's doing Sober January, don't let my negative attitude affect what you're doing. You should totally go for it. Mm-hmm. I'm just offering a different perspective.
Well, I think it's also something that, like, a lot of people in New York feel the need to do because, like we've said, there's very few ways to hang out. Like, one of my really good friends who I hadn't been hanging out with a lot, her and I just started getting our nails done together every other Sunday. Like, not even, like, on purpose when we planned, but it just kind of, we fell into, like, a habit of doing this. Mm-hmm. And a couple weeks ago, she was like, it is so nice to have a regular thing, like, a regular, like, hangout, normal, whatever thing that isn't centered around drinking. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, this is literally the only thing I do that's like that. Everything else is centered around drinking. Yeah. 3 or 4 nights a week. I don't like beer. I don't drink wine a lot because it makes me sleepy. So I go out and I drink whiskeys on the rocks. Fair. 3 or 4 of them, 3 or 4 nights a week. Fucking tiring.
That would be tiring for me. Totally. For me, it's like I like having a glass of wine and unwinding with someone. And I can have
two. A glass of wine and unwinding is great. That's what I have at home every night. You know, that's like but anyway.
Anyway.
All of that aside, your date didn't
change. But I was in all of the components of my date, which we'll get into, were in environments where I could be drinking. And I wasn't. And I think interestingly enough, had a great time. So at the end of the day, point proven. but it was like she did a very good job of letting me know beforehand. Like I was already like, you know what, let's hang out. And then she's like, just a forewarning, I don't drink. So like, we probably just shouldn't go to a bar because like, that's not going to be super fun. And I was like, well, thanks for giving me that heads up. Because then I had not even connected the dots yet. So I was.
And you didn't ask why, I'm assuming.
No. I mean, at this point.
Like, did she share why? Sorry. I know that you're not.
I think it started from like a 30-day sober thing into I feel a lot healthier and a lot better and I don't need to do this. And like she goes out and hangs out with people who drink all the time and just like has a club soda, has a soda, whatever.
Yeah.
So like, finds other ways to deal with it.
Do like, 30 days.
She just
like
generally feels way better and like doesn't feel the need to revert. And I didn't ask any questions. Because I was like, totally not my place to ask. Like, it's not like.
Yeah, that's like a third, fourth date convo.
Yeah, and like, but like, even, like, yeah, eventually, but like, I'm just like, you can make whatever decisions you want. It's not like, who am I to judge? Like, I can do what I want. You can do what you want. Like, I don't care. Like, as long as, like, we're hanging out and having fun, like, what does it matter to me? So, like, premise for this, I guess, let's take a step back, is this whole thing, because we weren't drinking, happened on a Sunday. So it was, like, very easy for me to also, like, not necessarily want to drink during any of these activities, but also just, like, I didn't feel the need to. But step number one, I was like, all right, so what is a cool activity to do that you don't need to be drinking? And I threw out 3 ideas, and you guys can react to them. I said bowling, and then I said Royal Palm shuffleboard, and then I said UCB going to, like, this improv, like, 2 teams competing against each other comedy show.
I've been at 2 of 3 of those without doing the activity, but doing the drinking. And probably UCB, honestly, not watching.
Wait, what's
it.
The first one?
Bowling. Just bowling. Okay. I said gutter or broken bowl. Just like
I've been
just
at gutter drinking, but not bowling. I've been at Royal Palms drinking, but not bowling. And I've done improv without drinking 1 time for
my
second year
show. I've been at all of those drinking and sober.
Yeah, I don't know.
So they're good. Those are very good. Just like, you have something to do.
Yeah, activities to do. And it came down between Royal Palms, because neither of us had been there. I haven't been there yet, and it's just been like on my hit list. And UCB, which is right around the, she's in LES. I'm in East Village. It's like right in the East Village, where it's like right up to.
Yeah,
But it was like pouring out, so we decided to go to UCB. Which
better
super
because
cool.
The wait could have been weird at Royal Palms, and then you don't have a drink to wait with.
Yeah.
And like,
probably right.
Shuffleboard.
Yeah. It would have had to be like slightly different timing. UCB ended up being at like 6:30 or something, which was like perfect on like an early Sunday activity. And it ended up being great. I had
was
a lot
funny?
Of fun. It was
what
funny.
Was it?
Live it was like dueling me. Improv teams
cage
for like
match?
The yes,
yeah.
The cage.
Oh yeah,
match.
Yeah.
So, like,
so fun.
It was super good, and like the 2 teams were great. We voted on the opposite teams, so we voted. We canceled each other's votes out, which I think was fine because then like the whole point was like go to that show and then like grab a snack afterwards, and so like we were able to, like at a high level like use that to like
chat.
Transfer into like chatting and get to know each other because like. You think about it, comedy show is like a movie. You're not necessarily talking the whole time.
Yeah, and you
but
have
you
to
are
show
finding
up.
Points where, like, yeah.
And, right. like, be like, hi, I'm Kenny. Hi, I'm blah, blah, blah.
And then we have
let's
to
sit down and watch this thing. Totally.
But I kind of weirdly like it because it breaks the ice. Even a movie breaks the ice. I know it's not a good first date thing.
But we were laughing about the same things, or like, we were finding things like, you laughed at this, I didn't, or like, we both laughed at this together. Like, those are things you can talk about that aren't the, like,
oh, do you have a brother?
Yeah.
Do you have a sister? Mm-hmm. Where do you live? Like, all those stupid questions.
Yeah.
So, like, it, like, definitely helped flow into that. But it was cool. I definitely recommend UCB as, like, a fun, lighthearted event. Because, like, movies, you never know. Like, that's you true. Pick the wrong movie, and, like, it's probably, it could be over. Like, not necessarily, like, your, like, potential relationship, but, like, the day could just go sour, or, like, yeah. wrong, or, like, she could hate the movie, and you could really like it. I don't know.
People have,
or it could
like, just be, like, weirdly a sad taste.
Movie. Totally. Like, I don't know.
Also, an improv show is, like, an hour, which is the right amount. Like, you're not sitting next to someone for 2 hours and 15 minutes being, like.
And it's not the same kind of darkness. It's a different kind of dark. It's, like, a little bit dark. Yeah. It's not like, we're in the.
And there's an inter- there's, like, an intermission. I'm throwing air quotes in there, but, like, a team goes, and then, like, the lights come on, and the, I don't know, not stagehands, but, like, the people who are, like, narrating, for lack of a better word, the show, come out on stage and, like, give the other team some time to, like, decompress and the other team to warm up and come out on stage. It's, like, you can talk during that part, and then you get back into it. It was, like, just also that venue is super casual.
Yeah.
Like, it's super casual. So, like, regardless if you're drinking or not, like, there is a bar there. Like, it's just, like, a cool. Yeah. I thought it was just, like, a cool experience.
I love
it. And it was, like, I think my first, not my first improv show, because I saw, like, Thomas Middleditch and Ben Schwartz do, like, a full-on, like, two people on stage on Broadway, like, full long-form improv thing. But this was, like, just artsy and low-key, and it just, like, felt, like, way less pressure. And, like, it was super casual, which is, like, if you want a Sunday activity when it's pouring rain outside, like, it was, like, a great pick. And I'm patting myself on the back because I picked
it. I think it's a very good pick. And you gave options, too. Options are great. Like, anyone loves options. And then, so how was it, like, was it definitely established no matter what that you'd be getting some food after? Or was it, like,
yeah, I said activity, then snack. Because it was, like, relatively early. And that felt, like, very truncated. Right? It's, like, a specific set of time. And then there's an immediate act that follows it up. So I was, like, after that, like, we're going to need a some venue to, like, go actually, like, converse and, like, meet each other.
So what tacos did you eat?
Ooh. We ate, continuing on the improvisation theme spans multiple things. So we went to Al Pastor, which is a great taco spot. But they, like, it was Sunday, and I didn't put this together because I know the quality of their food is great. And the environment there is usually good, but it was Sunday, and they do football.
Oh,
so, like, I was
like,
this
weird.
Isn't the place we want to hang out. What if we turn this into a taco crawl?
Mm-hmm.
So then we went from Al Pastor to St. Mark's Taqueria to Lapa-Lapa's, which is right next door. And just, like, honestly, the taco crawl, probably one of the better date ideas that I've ever had. Because not only does it, like, put you in situations where you have to, like, make decisions together and, like, figure it out really quickly, but it also is, like, gives you a breather. Like, you get up, you put your jacket on, you don't have to talk for, like, a minute. You, like, walk down to the next place. It's, like, really breaks up the monotony of just, like, sitting across the table. And not necessarily monotony, but, like, the continuation of dialogue that's forced when you sit across the table for someone, like, consistently for, like, an hour versus, like, jumping to three spots in an hour. Mm-hmm. It feels like you're just continuously moving. And it's, like,
yeah. Gives you a lot to talk about.
Yeah, for sure. So, like, all in all, it was fun. It's a cool way to do it. Just, like, having multiple activities lined up rather than just, like, because, like, we're talking about this earlier. I will sit in a bar and I'll have a drink, and if it's a fun person, that's all I'll need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there's other ways to just have the same experience while doing other things, and, like, it was a good way to kind of force myself to also, because I was like, okay, what am I possibly going to suggest that's going to be cool or interesting rather than just, like, a cool or interesting
bar? You suggested so many things.
No, that's what I'm saying, but, like, before I suggested those, I was like, probably having a mini panic attack, just being like, oh god, I gotta be, what am I, like,
no.
What do I do? Because I was like, what do? I don't do anything. Back to your point, all my friends do is get together and drink beers. And, like, I do other, like, personal, like, activities that I like making music and, like, doing all these other things. But, like, socially, that's all my
friends
do.
There's not a lot to do here. I mean, there is if you, like, really get into it or if you're willing to spend a lot of money. But it's, like, it's hard to just, like, be like, oh, I want to hang out, but I don't want to drink. It's a fucking struggle to find activities unless, you want to blow a shitload of money. You're like, great, let's go rock climbing. We'll spend $200 each.
Right.
Like, it's not.
Like, as much as I shit on the LA hike, you can just fucking go for a hike. And you're in a city where people like doing that shit. Well, you can walk in New York, I guess. We always talk about that.
Yeah.
You definitely can't really walk in LA, but you can. It can be, like, a destination walk, which is hiking, which is,
yeah. I mean, it's hard. I mean, also, it's hard to do activities on first dates, which we've talked about before. It's because, yeah.
So you need to find the right activity whereby you're still meeting the person.
Yeah, yeah.
And not just doing the activity.
Yeah.
And we're just like, that, like movie, no. Concert, no. This, no.
Laser
that,
tag.
That's a bad idea.
Laser tag. Remember when I split my knee at laser tag? Were you there for Rhett's birthday? Like, no, this was a million years ago. I fully ripped very expensive jeans, just like. Getting a little too intense, trying to shoot someone I had a history with. Oh. I was like laser beam.
I continue to like really want to go to a laser tag birthday party, but no one's thrown one. And like, I don't want to have my own birthday party.
It was in Queens. You must have been away.
No, I was.
It
was like, yeah, there was a reason I didn't go. Wintry. I remember because it was like, you wanted me to go to be like a potential buffer between you and someone else. And I wasn't here.
I hurt myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. And then. Okay, so outside of activities, how is, like, vibes with the girl?
Pretty good. Yeah, it's, like, a little bit weird because I feel like I have a biased opinion whereby, like, it was a Sunday, I was feeling lazy, but, like, at the end of the day, like, we had fun. I don't necessarily know if I, like, came away, like, thinking this is, like, a 10 out of 10, like, person, but, like, all in all, it's, like, really hard to make a call like that after a first date. So, like, mm-hmm. we chatted the entire time, so it's, like, hard. It was fun. Yeah, I don't know.
And hard because to have, like, you're dating a lot, it's hard. I actually found it harder. Early on, I found it really easy. But you were, like, dating more before you started doing it for the podcast. I found it easy to, like, get really hung up on someone and, like, go on a million dates with them. But, like, looking back, I'm, like, I felt like it was a great, fun date. But I did not know about day 13 after one date.
Yeah.
And which I was, think, like, literally a year ago.
And I think I've actually felt that way about every first date where it's, like, fun. Like, I haven't, like, knock on wood, ding, ding, ding. That's not the wood sound. Knock, ding, knock, ding, knock. Ding,
ding. You know how wood sounds.
Ding, ding, ding. I just, like, haven't had that horrible first date yet. So it's, like, comparing, and, like, that's not really fair. Like, comparing dates to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you kind of just do it. And so, like, I'm making a comparison. And, like, every first date has been good, but I probably haven't let myself have one be just like so like over the top amazing where I'm just like, this is it, this is what I want to continue to, like, immediately text them the next day being like, we need to do this again, blah blah blah, because, like, that's just a function of how I've been approaching it.
And I think we also found, like, it was a bell jar, you know, like, it was a bell curve. Like, most dates, a bell jar is great, very, very jar. Sad book. It was not a bell jar. It's a bell curve where, like, the really amazing or the really horrible first dates are extremely rare. The pretty good, decent, like, in the middle first dates are mostly what you're gonna get.
Which is why, yeah, stats, you know,
totally.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's, you know, Kimmy has the normal one curve. Really bad first date and then a couple really great first dates, which, like, lol, I think date 13 wasn't even necessarily in one of the, like,
no.
dates you went on the first date and you were like, oh my god, like,
I those really did not person. No, no. You, I don't think the first I think it's very rare that the first date thing, and I feel like too many times on literally other podcasts or from our listeners or from friends, the story I hear when the first date was like fucking sparks, especially if you're online dating, especially if you're like, it's usually more to do with, like, whether it's a checklist for me or, like, just something else in the air or physical attraction, whatever it is, then there's always, like, those stories end up with, like, a weird story a little bit down the line.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Whereas, so that's why I'm still such a believer in the second date. Like, if
you're which is, like, yeah, the lax approach, like, giving less of a shit. Maybe just going on a second date, whether or not you think.
Yes.
You we made that like really a rule. Necessarily want totally. To. Yeah, just yeah. like go on the second
I date. Like would ask people on second dates and then I get sad.
No. Or if you went, well, that's cool. My another goal of mine with dating is to not care as much about the people who don't respond or just
yeah.
because it's like not worth getting tied up. The whole point that we were talking about earlier is there's just like so many people who live in the city. And to like get tied up over one person, like, you know, the next date you might go on might be even better than the one you just got off of. So like
yeah.
to get super tied up after a date or two.
No, remember my, like, fourth date texting me, like, a literal year later being like, I was thinking of you. I ended up moving to San Francisco. I thought he just, like, wasn't interested. Remember that?
Yeah.
Whole thing. It was, like, my first conniption that I had on the podcast.
Well, I think it just goes to underscore, like, it's – these are anonymous – not totally anonymous, but anonymous strangers on the internet mostly, or someone you've gone on one date with. Like, they're strangers, really. Like – it's probably not about you. It's probably about them. You know, like, it's most of the time.
And sometimes it's about both of you. And, like and
the connection not being there.
But, yeah. No, I...
Every time I say the word connection, I'm like, oh, my God, am I on the fucking Bachelor?
You know, are you going to, like, just...
No, you're not.
I am not on the Bachelor. This is correct. But, like, every fucking talking head interview on the... That is like a Bachelor drinking game that will kill you and all your friends and your family.
Connection.
If you take a shot every time the word connection is said, ooh, you will take 25 shots in an episode. I swear to God.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Are you going to watch the new season? Sorry. I know.
I think I have to be done with it.
Yeah.
We had a high school friend who was on The Bachelor.
We did? I never knew this.
Is the Bachelor all the men or is the Bachelorette all the
women? I appreciate that you have
a Bachelor. Is when all the one, women, Bachelorette yeah. is all the men.
Oh, yeah. Caroline Lenny.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was confused that I picked, yeah. She was on, honestly, I feel like that, like, I was then, like, interested in that season, and she was then friends with the Bachelorette.
It's just so really weird to think about. I haven't seen a single episode of either.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Sorry.
And here's, probably, like, I would probably find them entertaining.
The thing is that I think it's fucking hilarious.
Weirdly amazing, addicting.
But it's so bad. Addicting, and it's, like, 3 hours a week. So I'm just like, I don't have the goddamn time.
How is it 3 hours a week?
They do, a lot of times, they do 2 episodes a week. That are 2 hours each, so an hour and a half yeah. without commercials yeah. when you want whatever. But it's like...
Producers are genius on that
it's
shit.
It's so much time. So when I'm really into a season, I have to watch it immediately. Like, it becomes me staying up till 3 a.m, drinking whiskey on the couch, watching The Bachelor, and losing sleep because I
listening
have to find
to podcasts,
time
reading articles.
To watch The Bachelor. And I literally am just like, I need some goddamn time to fucking write in my bullet journal.
Bullet journal.
Watch The Bachelor.
Manifest. Journals. All right.
If it were 41 minutes a week, I would watch it every goddamn season from now until I die because it's going to outlive me.
Like, oh, God.
It'll never end.
It'll outlive
and
all
of
us.
And it's getting so terrible. And I think I've only watched since it's been terrible because, like, friends in my life, I was always like, I'm anti. And then they really suck you in. And I'm like, I'm also just, it's so boring sometimes in the episodes, but you're just like, what were the producers making them say? Like, you get in your head.
And you have to have. And you have to know that they tease what's going to happen. Ugh.
Oh, and it's so, and you know what they're doing. Oh, boy. Okay. Well,
isn't
we've talked
scripted?
About the Bachelor.
Yes.
Okay.
But the thing is like, the thing that I like
sorry,
watching
spoilers.
About it,
no. But it's like scripted in that way where it's like, we're going
to
know what
the thing that's enjoyable
to
me is like, the people who are on it, which like, no offense to your friend from high school, mostly I'm like, who are these fucking people? It's not about any of the romance or the shit that might happen between them. It's literally like, what human would volunteer
to do
for this? Like, I get fascinated by the low-level sociopaths who are contestants on The Bachelor. And again, not all of them. Sometimes I see them and I'm like, they're very normal. And
no,
I
even had a friend. The last season was awful. Like, they were all the men had, like, problems. They had, like, beat the girlfriend up in the past. Or it was terrible.
It's really
it's like some guy who, like, races cars for a living and then some guy.
Oh, that guy
like,
sucks.
They're just, like, the range of people that you get on these shows is just, like, to your point, extremely interesting. But I don't necessarily know
don't
if that
do
makes
it.
Me want to watch
it. Don't do it.
It's not – I will say, like, it's not something – like, I literally – because it's so addictive, I have to just decide not to get involved in a season because I'm like, I don't feel good. I feel like it's the way that alcohol is pickling.
Yeah.
Like, this is
just pickling. Sober January. You can sober Bachelor.
Sober 2019 from watching
starting
the
very
whole
soon,
franchise and Paradise.
And this year it just feels so fake because they're capitalizing on this guy's virginity, which is apparently authentic, but like it's very –
yeah, the main guy's a virgin, apparently.
Literally, the posters look like 40-year-old virgin. Virgin.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Judd Apatow.
It's very weird. Anyway.
Anyway, we are.
We've already told you our social medias. We've already. Do we not need to say it? Tell anyone?
No, just keep rating, subscribing, and reviewing.
Yes, please
we
do
like
that.
It.
It makes us feel nice.
Yeah, it's 2019. Also, keep listening.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends. I'm going to continue to go on dates.
Yes.
I've been lining up dates as. Not necessarily as we pod, but like today, I've already. Mm-hmm.
Kenny's been on Bumble this
add.
Whole time.
He's getting texts.
It's so weird. My thumb is sore. I've just been swiping left, right, left, right, right, left.
So much
right,
Bumble.
Left.
He's going to listener date. We should set him up.
Don't ooh, worry. I can't. Ooh, fun fact. Bumble's hard for me because I reverse commute and it puts me in weird locations. So like if I'm not in the city, I can't match with people in the city. And then if I'm out of the city. Or if I'm not in the city, I can't match with people here. And I match, like, I show up on people's, like, Westchester radar. And then if I'm here, I have to play catch up because like people
are swiping. We need to talk about that more. Yeah. That is like a full topic.
It is a full topic, and we don't have to get into it.
I never Bumble's thought hard. About that.
Mm. Bumble's a challenge. I can like put myself on like sleep mode. I don't know.
No.
That's already too much work. Yeah.
So for next episode.
All right, we're going to get into that.
Will that? Oh my goodness.
On that note.
This girl has had Tito's, but no. She's no pickled. Food all day, but it's okay.
I have chips. I'm going to give you chips.
I have nonstop eight, and I left 8:13 out at a bar. So I'm going to. Maybe he already ate.
Maybe he'll come on the pod.
Maybe he'll come on the pod. He like wanted to, didn't he?
We'll do it soon.
We will.
We'll get him on. Anyway, in the meantime,
you should
go on a date.
Go on a date.
Go on a date. Happy 2019.
2019.
2015.
Ooh, yeah.
I hope the Kill Me made it.
A big shout out to Anthony from 5 Ohm for making us sound really good in post. And you should check 5 Ohm out online at 5ohm.com.
And that's spelled FIVEOHM.
Ohm.